Welcome to Call Us Mommy.
Featuring daddies.
This is Austin.
This is Aaron.
We're going to talk about love.
Relationships.
Happiness.
Life.
Just all sorts of fun stuff.
All right, we are continuing our love episodes, and we have the high school sweethearts, Ariel and Sierad, with us today. All right, let's just jump in. How did you guys meet? Who was interested first?
Yeah, babe, who was interested first?
And how old were you guys?
The first time we met, we were very young, middle school.
It's like seventh grade?
Yeah. And
but we didn't really. Actually, you dated my best friend.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Oh, your letter from Jackie was in her locker. Because remember, that's why you broke up with her.
First of all, I had to work hard for the letter from Jackie. And she threw it in the bottom of her locker like I did nothing. I said, give me my jacket back. And I ran for that many miles. I want it back. She did. She like pulled it out.
Yeah, she did. And then all over. But
okay.
So bad. I was mad.
Guys.
When we were young.
Yeah. So I thought he was super annoying in middle school.
Not much as shit.
He was very much a class clown and loud and like obnoxious, and I was not about that. Like I just wanted.
You
I was like
private
a
private school.
No,
and you were very reserved.
I just am reserved. I'm more of an introvert.
Yeah, I was your yeah.
And yeah, and you were. I mean, and guys like that in middle school are usually, you know, pretty douchey too. So that's a little bit.
So when I had, I was a huge douche.
And annoying.
And annoying. That didn't really count.
So, Zary, tell me what your first thoughts on Ariel were.
So it was senior year of high school, and we had speech class together for the first time that we'd had a class together.
That's true.
We went to high school at a larger high school, I guess, so we never really saw each other much. And I obviously knew her. But then I remember senior year, I was like, oh. He's a little, where's she? My God. And I'm looking at her. But I got, it was like a reconnection. Like, I just, you know, like you realize someone's around and you, a lot of other people there. But she sat right behind me.
Well, it's because we were in an advanced speech class.
And speech, by the way, is my favorite class. Like, that's mine.
So it's even better that she was there. Yeah, of course it was.
I was like, oh, she's going to watch me give all these speeches. It's going to be easy.
But we had a mutual friend that we kind of sat next to, and then we kind of started talking. And then eventually it was like, she was a third wheel if we were like hanging out.
Yeah. And then I think I was interested in you first to answer the question.
I don't remember.
Well, I remember. No, let me, I haven't here. No. I'll tell you the story of how I know she was in, or no. It is tricky.
I think I'm awful. Nothing to tell about.
I was in. I was definitely interested first, but I was confused a little bit. Because I knew that you didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on a date.
It wasn't a date,
school.
Though.
So we went on a date in high school in my truck. And we went to went to a golf course. I don't know what we did.
We went out too, but we went and walked to the golf course. And then we went to the fire tower.
And then, because I had some places I would go and just driving around country cruising, we parked. And she was like, let's look at the stars. And I go, okay. So we got in the back.
My mom listens to this podcast.
Like, well, we got in the back of my truck. And I'm like, all right. Like, we could. And then she pounced on me. And I was like, whoa.
Sarah, you're joking.
No, I mean, he came at me. I didn't know.
Like, let me show you what this girl's made of.
It really changed my perspective of what I thought we were doing, because I didn't.
Oh, did it? I like, didn't have intention.
Didn't say I wasn't ready, but I didn't know. Like, I parked the truck, but
yeah,
I just didn't know how it would go. And then after that night, it changed everything for me, because I was like, oh. And I remember I told other people, and they're like, because we had known each other for so long, but we had just never connected in that way.
Mm-hmm. And then we started dating.
And then that was really great. That was really the first. That was everything.
So give us like an age perspective for people who don't know you guys. Like, how long have you guys known each other? How many years? So we would have been like, what?
13? 17 at this time. Yeah. In high school. Okay. When we first met.
I would have been 16 because I'm a little bit younger.
She's younger than you.
Yeah. Thanks. And now we're in our 30s. Mm-hmm. 31.
I love that.
It's been a while.
So at what point did you guys know that you guys wanted to be together forever?
I remember mine.
So we always have an argument about this because Zara believes in like legit, like typical soulmates. And I don't.
I do.
I believe in I think everyone has someone that they can I don't know. I think it's a choice. So that question for me, I think is hard to pinpoint because I think from the beginning, the love I felt was real. And if we would have got married that day, I would have been like, yeah, this person I spent my life with forever. But I mean, you always have to choose that person. So I had to continuously choose for you to be the one forever. But my heart wanted it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
It does. But I think that when you're together with somebody and you're at the point where you know, this is it, this is what it's going to be, I think you change your perspective and you start to see how that person is really the one you're supposed to be with. That's the person you're meant to be with. Whether or not you were initially with them or you come to find them later, mm-hmm. when you realize that, you're like, oh, this is, we are indeed.
It's star-crossed.
But people say, it's home. You feel
yeah.
Home.
Yeah.
That's the only, yeah, because I always felt, whenever I was with you, I felt at home and at peace. Whenever I wasn't with you, I didn't. There's a lot of toxic things with that too, I think.
Yeah, but when it is real, I think you know that person is your person, and I don't that it had to be made then.
Right.
You will of course tailor the relationship.
The full episode for you, just and, not so bad.
You have to work on a lot of things, but I think that you can only accomplish so much with the person you're supposed to be with.
Yeah.
So he solely believes, guys, that God designs each person with one soulmate, correct? That we've had the conversation before.
See, I think that it's a choice. I think that you can create a relationship that you want with anyone as long as you're choosing. No, I don't mean anyone off the street. You have to have compatibility and all those things. I don't think there's only one person you can be compatible with.
Well, not soulmates and compatibility, I think, are two different things. I think you can be compatible with several people, mm-hmm. but you can really be with the only person you were designed to be with. Some people it takes them a lot longer to find.
Of course. With most of our conversations, I think the foundation of what we're both saying is the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you guys are both saying the same thing. It's just she has a different term for it, or not that term.
That's a lot of our marriage.
So that's
it.
We'll get to that later on. Okay, so what challenges do you guys feel like you had to face, growing up together? Instead of having your lives and meeting each other later on.
Okay. When did you know it was the moment? Did you answer that? When did you know?
You already answered that.
I knew. I mean, I'm all in once I'm all in. So if I fall in love with someone, I'm that's forever for me. So, I mean, high school. I would have married you.
It was a sip.
Back of a trap.
Probably. I mean, I would have married you if you would have proposed to me when I graduated.
It was one of those speeches I gave. Must have been.
You mean the ones that you failed because I was in
my grade got much worse when you and I
found the teacher actually talked to him. I was like, since you and Errol have been dating,
my grade went down.
Way to go.
Yeah. Make it fail.
Didn't care about my speeches. So it was high school for you.
Mm-hmm. When was yours?
A little later.
I know. He says, well, what do you want to tell the actual? Because I know what you're talking about.
So, yeah, I was in college and we were not together. We had taken a little break. I was with someone else at the time, and I was 19. I was just living the freshman life. I mean, I was so excited to be away from home, away from my parents.
We were sophomores when this happened.
No, but I mean, as a freshman in college. Mm-hmm.
When we broke up?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then that led into a whole another part of my life. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I just wrecked my car. Pretty bad, and I was very. My left arm was completely shattered. There was no bones in my arm that were together, so it was really scary for me at the time. And I remember I woke up and I had to go to Indianapolis, and I was just in the hospital, and I looked awful. I felt awful. This was probably one of the lowest points of my life. I just felt like everything was. I was just losing it, and I remember I hadn't talked to you in a while.
Well, because I'd wrote him an email 3 months prior telling him that I needed to take a cleanse from him, basically. And that I think I read you the letter. I still have it.
Yeah, she told me not to talk to her, to contact her.
Well, I loved him and
thought told me to leave her alone. And I was just so hyper focused on this other life, because we were young. We were so young. Mm-hmm. And then when I was sitting in the hospital with one arm and just all this stuff going on, I realized that I wanted to talk to you really bad. So I called on Valentine's Day with my computer.
It was Skype back then.
Skype. I Skyped her. She had not seen or thought to me in a while. And then I was in the hospital. And she took the call, which I couldn't believe.
Start crying. I was literally walking out the door to go to a Valentine's Day party because I was doing my internship in Colorado. So I was going to hang out with a bunch of people who were older than me, like cooler, you know.
And I was in hospital,
yeah, literally,
with my arm like in this whole thing, yeah. And my face was all, it was pretty bad.
Did she need to start crying? I mean, it was shock for a minute, but yeah, I started crying and I was just like, is this a joke? I think I said, is this a joke?
Yeah, it wasn't.
No.
But I, at that time, though, like in my lowest moment, I really only wanted to talk to one person. That's when I knew. I was like, this is my life. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Sweet.
I mean, I don't love that, like, you have to go through that.
Right. Yeah, but sometimes I think we do have
to go. Yeah, sometimes I think it takes people hitting, like, a low to, like, realize, like, what they want.
Yeah, and that was definitely. And then after that, we reconnected. Mm-hmm. And then.
It was really not, we weren't separated after that. I mean, we couldn't. It was like, we knew we were going to spend the rest of our life together. We just didn't.
And we were in Colorado when I called you on Valentine's Day, and I was in Indy, so we weren't. There was no plan to see each other. I just knew I had to talk to my soulmate.
His soulmate. We're going to title this episode Soulmate.
Yeah, apparently.
But that was it for me.
Yeah.
So still, though, pretty, I mean, 19. I never had to.
Here you are. So I guess to answer your question about the biggest challenges that we had, I think for me personally, like, I think everyone has the challenge of when you start dating someone, like, you bring baggage from, like, another relationship into that relationship. Obviously, like, we just talked about all that.
Yeah.
But I think what was hardest for me was the baggage that I had with our own relationship. That it, like, you know, it's, like, different whenever you have baggage from another relationship. It's, like, you get triggered, but you're, like, oh, wait, like, that's not this person. That's not the situation. This person's different, whatever. But for me, it was, like, healing from baggage that was from our relationship that we're currently still in, but, like, we were still different people because that is such a long span of time. Like, you should be a different person from when you're 17 to 19 to 21 and all those things. And I think that was, like, the hardest for me. It was just, like, not holding things against you and, like, holding resentment.
Yeah, and there were a lot of challenges at that time, I felt like, because so many things were happening just because we're that age. We're both trying to finish school at the time, which we did, and then,
well, I was finishing it pregnant and you were finishing it a new dad. Finished the whole semester, what, whole year before you did.
Yeah, well, I did take the fifth year. I did that. That's, they actually, you're an advisor, your college advisor will tell you, yeah, 5-year plans where to go. So I did do the fifth year, and that was probably the, looking back, it was both, like, the happiest and really just strange, just most odd time of my life, because I was a dad. Had a son, which is what I always wanted. I always wanted a boy first. Mm-hmm. And then had my lovely wife, who would come and visit me in my apartment on the weekends.
But we weren't married yet.
Right. Okay. Soulmate. So then I had, I would have you two come.
Yeah, and I think I bought that for us.
Yeah, I'll never forget it.
And
it
not just
so
like
crazy
a
crazy to me. Because I would be like, you know, like classic, like beer pong, and like that's what it was. I was living in an apartment with three other guys. Like, we lived on camp or right off campus, and then on Friday it was like, oh,
my family life.
Their son's coming, and it would all shut down. I couldn't control the dynamic of this apartment, mm-hmm. And a lot of times I was the driver for the parties. The other times, so then I had to, like, tell my friends, like, hey, son's here, we have to be quiet. And they were like, it was such a weird time. I love.
Almost like you were living two lives.
It was. I was living two lives. And it was so strange because I would be a dad and, like, hold my son when I go to sleep and diapers. And then Monday, I'm back in econ. It was just so weird.
Yeah. I think I never really thought enough about that, but, like, you were still living in limbo, whereas I had 9 months to prepare for that. So I was prepared already and then was immediately in that because I was able to talk to my advisor, like my professors, and I finished my school year at the college, so I was, like, paying a ton of money to go to, but at home. Whereas, like, you weren't able to do that. So I was, like, able to just, like, basically be a full-time mom/student, whereas, like, you were basically a full-time student and then dad on the weekends.
Yeah.
It was weird, but it was like it was also like a weirdly carefree time.
Yeah, and then after that, after I finally did graduate, we moved into another apartment that was just ours together.
And we were married at this point.
And then a house. So like it all transitioned to our life at Evansville eventually, but in the beginning it was so strange. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't ready for all of the same.
Yeah. I think that the biggest challenge, at least for me, is like seeing you now, and sometimes whenever I'm triggered or really upset, like getting upset at the person that you might have been 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that was hard for me because I didn't understand what it was to be not only a dad, but then a partner, like a true partner in a relationship. I just thought, like, this person likes me. Everything will be fine. She'll just keep liking me, and I'll just keep doing my own thing. And then you're like, oh, that doesn't really style works. So it took me a while to figure that out and really learn how to love you better, because I didn't really, that wasn't, it sounds bad to say that wasn't a focus, but it was more a focus just like for us to I wasn't thinking about it the way I do now.
Yeah.
I think this conversation plays a lot of like the difference of how fast a girl grows, the boy, and just like the maturity levels, and like when even like take the age out of like how old you are, but like when you have a baby, mm-hmm. how much pressure is on the mom and how the mom's like instantly changes, and it's not like that for a dad.
Well, you can be in some women literally have hormones to make that happen, whereas men don't. I mean, there's some studies that say that they do, but we weren't physically together a lot. So
yeah. So he didn't have the opportunity to like be present and like that. It's a whole life change when you're doing that. And so I didn't know that part about you guys' story, though. That's interesting.
It was weird because obviously it was our first kid, and I wanted to be so present. And I wanted to be there and watch all these things and do this with her and him, Vaden, but I couldn't because I had to go to school.
Right.
I remember that first time I left in Evansville, or when I left your parents' house, mm-hmm. I got in my truck and just drove down, and I was like, I'm just leaving my son, and this is just so strange. And then I got back, and I was like, what up? How are you doing? I'm like, no, it's just...
Yeah. Like, you're great. It's like a turn off and a turn on. Like,
and I feel like I missed a lot of... I mean, I did. Unfortunately, I missed a lot of Vaden's first year.
I thought about that. Sorry.
That's sad. Okay, like this is like goes into the like then my next question is like, how do you guys feel like you change over the years?
What?
It's still on a ways.
I think everybody changes. If you're not, then something's wrong.
Yeah, I think that we have to grow.
I think that we've both grown together, like separately. I don't know.
I think it just goes my priorities. For me, that was the biggest thing. I had to understand that nothing else really in my life matters at all. But that's the way that I really wanted it. But it was hard to come to that realization that was true. Mm-hmm. That is what I wanted. I don't really care about my friendships, which sounds bad to say. But I really care more about being a dad. Like, that's what I want to do.
Like, your priorities are just, they're different.
Yeah, and it wasn't like that immediately. As soon as I was a dad, it was like, done with all my friends. Like, I still wanted to do both. Like, this baby will change me. Right. But, I mean, they do. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ariel, how didn't it feel like he's changed? Because I know that you can talk more on that. It's like, I know I can even talk more in just, like, the past 3 years watching you, like, how much you've changed.
I definitely have seen his priorities shift. I don't think that means, like, his love for one thing or the other has grown. I really do genuinely think it's, like, priorities. And he's always, like, held roles really, like, high. Like, it's a really important priority for him. So I think it was just trying to maneuver, like, what roles still mattered and what didn't as much, you know, and, like, just how the seasons of life change when you can, like, really pour into those roles and when you can't, you know, whenever you, like, in the season that you have, like, small kids, which has been our season the last 10 years, it's hard to pour into any other role. It just is. And you have to pour into your career because you have to have money to care for those kids. Like, that's a priority. And then you have to pour into your role as like a partner because otherwise your kids are going to suffer for that. So that's a priority. And then after that, you're pretty drained. So if you don't have friendships that are speaking life into you and like filling your cup, then they're not a priority. And then I feel like personally that like your family is supposed to pour into you during that time and not expect anything in return. And so it's just like adjusting to all of that. And so I've seen you grow the most in that, like, you have sacrificed probably too much in some ways, like,
Yeah, I mean, I think the seasons of life that we were in versus all of our friends, it was not even, there was no similarity at all.
I want to jump in right there because I think that was good because you said he sacrificed a lot, but like at the very beginning of motherhood and like your relationship of like being together, you sacrifice a lot. Like yeah. He still got to live his life. So I think that's good what he was saying. Like there's seasons of time of like maybe like one person is like, you know, like giving less and one person's giving more. That's.
Yeah. I think the other thing would be like, I think Zared grew up very much like the main character. I think that's his personality. And then like being a firstborn, like he's Vaden, you know, he's like the main character. And that's fine. Like I'm good at being like the side supporting, you know, actress. But like sometimes that would play into like how we love each other. And I think that you have done what a lot of people won't do. And you have like worked to see a perspective that's hard for you to see. And I think sometimes, like, that's one thing that I'm still growing and, like, trying to grow at is, like, not having these, like, unrealistic expectations for you and just, like, accepting the way that you love me.
Yeah, I'm going to focus on the other side, too, though. And I think we're different in the way that I've always focused on myself very much, like, in my own life. Before I did anything, I had to make sure that I felt good before I could be any... fulfill any of those roles.
And I am the complete opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, so like
drained.
Yeah.
And she'll do that. She'll pour into other people before she will herself. And that's where I'm supposed to pour into her. But at the same time, I have to make sure that they're just...
Dallas.
Yeah. So like for me, it's like I'm the most important to myself. I think you should be... I think we should all be to ourselves. That way we can then be a good husband and a good dad. So like I've been intentional my whole life, I guess, about that time for myself and really changing my own focus to love others.
To love others. We're learning empathy over here. That's what we're trying to look
at. So I asked her, have you changed? How do you think that she's changed over the years?
I think that just watching her with the kids, because I think it happens at this, I don't know, it's so hard to describe, but watching her become a mom. And like not just be a mom physically, like I am one now, but then become a good mom and just really grow into that. I love my mom and I just had, yeah, had a very good childhood. I feel like a lot of the strengths I have today come from the easy childhood I had and the support that my mom gave me. So then to see my son be very similar to me and have a mom he's going to be so close with. So just watching you do that, I think, has really been neat. And to see it from like an outside perspective as much as I can, just to realize that this is happening all around us.
Yeah.
And to look at you now versus when we first were married.
The high school girl.
Even just when we first got married. And the things that you would get excited about with the kids. Like, I remember when you wanted to make Hayden office food and little blenders.
Oh, yeah.
She was so excited.
Oh, yeah, we had the baby blender then.
The baby pods. You were so pumped, like to the food chart.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And now.
Oh, yeah, I used to make my own baby wipes. Like, who was?
Oh, I heard that. Yeah. And you'd be in the group text, like, guys, this is so easy. Let's just do it all together on Sunday.
Such that organic bulk.
Yeah. God.
Cloth diapers. Just like all the different things. Well, which I don't.
Right. But you got to see her, like, go through something. Like different phases.
And develop her own style of motherhood, like the mom that she is and is going to be.
Yeah.
And you never know who that person is. How could you know?
Yeah.
Did you ever think I'd start a business?
I don't think I did. I don't think I did think that you would start a business. Which was an
appeal about that. Like, speaking of kids, yeah.
No, I think that's been really neat to watch just because you never really talked about it. A business. But I think to see you do something that actually makes you happy and that you want to do is really important for you. Because I think you could be good at other things that don't make you happy.
Yeah.
So to see you do something that actually does make you happy is really rewarding, I think, for you.
You would have
not that.
And the girls.
It's just different because like I think everybody would maybe want to start a business, but... You know, what skills would a person have to do that? I feel like for me, I don't know what those skills would be. I don't know what I would do. And you have the skills and you've done that. So that's really impressive.
All right. Did you guys always want 4 kids?
I think they both had that number picked out.
But you wanted boys, right?
I wanted all boys.
I just wanted brothers and sisters. So like 2 and 2.
Yeah.
Because I have a brother and I have a sister. and I wanted my kids to have both. Mm-hmm. So then we had Vaden and then three girls and quit.
Yeah.
So stopped after that.
Yeah. And that's a final decision. There's no more babies.
Unless we have something reversed.
No, I'm not doing any of that again.
Oh my gosh, it's not bad at all.
It was.
I watched it happen. It was not that bad.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Please, if your husband is listening, just shut it off.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. The Valium helped.
Yeah.
Take the Valium. That's my advice.
He walked into Fred's to get a milkshake and a burger literally right after. So
snort that Valium.
You're not. Okay. Speaking of four kids, how do you guys feel like make it a priority to like have date nights and like time just for each other?
How do we do that?
I don't think we do it enough.
No, we don't.
I think one thing that we do really well is the thing that like I remember my mom kind of like warning me about and just like people in general was like, you know, it's going to be hard, you guys, like going into marriage with a baby versus having had like several years of marriage where you can create that foundation and then add a baby to it. And I remember thinking, like, I don't think so, because we had such a deep relationship already. Like, you were the only person who really felt like knew me. So I didn't anticipate that happening. And so I think that, like, having that foundation of, like, just knowing each other and, like, having a relationship aside from being parents and then keeping that intact, even if it is with your kids in the same room, like, around.
Because we've never lived together without kids.
Yeah.
We've never done anything.
Yeah.
For any amount of time.
But, like, we make it a priority to, like, if we're having a conversation, the kids want to, like, be goofy and, like, interrupt that conversation. They're not the priority. Like, we won't let them take that attention away from each other. And then I think, too, like, not letting ourselves get mad at each other for the way that, like, our kids are acting. Because sometimes I think parents will, like, get mad. Like, well, how could you let them talk to me like that? Or, like, I don't know how parents do that. But, like, we're more like partners in it. Like, we're both having to endure this horribleness, you know?
It's true.
He's toxic kid.
Yeah.
We're in the trenches together.
Mm-hmm. Huh? You need that debt?
Well, no. What was the question again? I was watching your lips move.
Oh my gosh. That's how they make this work. How do you make each other a priority for your kids?
The date nights.
Yeah, like date nights. Or just like on a day-to-day. Like, I mean, like,
yeah, I think the day nines are just hard logistically. Mm-hmm. It's just tricky to do.
We also would not hire a sitter. We would need to do that. It would be a lot easier if we would just like commit to a sitter.
Just watch too much news to trust anyone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think what you said, just
underline it.
Yeah, agree.
Okay, so I know this personally. I don't feel like you guys have like typical dynamics of a husband and wife relationship. So tell us about like what that looks like.
I keep the house clean every day. I'm out there sweeping. I'm dusting.
I'm just getting the bees, girls.
I try to do more house stuff.
Yeah, no, this is adapted. It's not like we went into it like half and half. I don't think when we lived in that apartment in Ennsville, I don't think he ever cooked a meal. I don't think he ever washed a dish. Like, he also did work at a factory from like 4 a.m. till, you know, 3 p.m. or whatever and came home exhausted. So, like, there was a lot of that going on.
Again, a lot of growing.
Yeah. But I also like to be doing certain things. And if they're not done the right way, then I get upset. So I've learned to, like, okay, well, then, Ariel, you can't expect them to do it for you then, you know?
I just never thought that our parents would have such influence on the way that we live. But I think they do. And I didn't realize that. Like when we first, I don't know when I realized it, but just cleaning everything all the time.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening?
Because, so I was talking about like the way we were raised.
Yeah. Because in my house, when I was a kid, I remember my mom and dad would be like, we're cleaning this weekend. And we would clean the house like for all day. We would just be doing stuff. Yeah. And then throughout the week, there wasn't a whole, I mean, not that it was just different. Like we just had stuff places like. And it was just a messier environment, which I think is cozy too. Like that, like I enjoyed that, but it's so much different than now.
Yeah.
Like now it's just completely different than when I grew up, which I think is good.
But I didn't really grow up in necessarily where my mom was like OCD like I am. I think the way that I fight anxiety is by having a clean house. It helps me feel less anxious. Messes, I mean, literally just Google it, like chaos and like messes fuel anxiety. So for me, that's what it's fueled by. And so, like, keeping things clean
fuels my anxiety. I've kind of slept
up. But I have adapted. Like, I've compromised. I mean, it's a lot better than it used to be.
But the dynamic, I mean, I had to learn that part. I just had to learn that.
So explain to us what your dynamics are now.
We're still trying to figure that out, but I think it's definitely more of like a partnership and like constant communication of, I feel like this is where I'm lacking, I need you to pick up. And I probably do that more than I need to do that. Like, I probably say things more than I need to say then. But
so, for example, like, just with finances, like, one of you is not like, oh, he pays the bills, she takes care of the housework. Like, a lot of things are
split 50-50. Everything's split. Well, up until like a couple of years ago, we had like separate bank accounts, everything. And it's just like, oh, you pay this bill, you pay this bill. And then it got to me, we're like, where's your money going? And he'd be like, well, where's your money going? I'm like, well, I have plenty in it. I said, you know. So I also have been the breadwinner for so long.
I pushed for separate bank accounts as long as I.
You did?
Oh, from the very beginning. I said, I'm never. No, I was like, we're doing separate.
Well, I didn't have a job at the beginning.
Because I was at the time the breadwinner. Which isn't, and then when she, I was like, let's revisit the joint account. I think that's a good idea. Follow all your money into it. I like this.
He was the breadwinner for so long. He did usually take care of the majority of the bills.
The thing for me, I hate feeling restricted. I just hate that. That's probably one of the things I cannot feel in my, that's the worst.
I know.
So when I see something, I just buy it. Not in an irresponsible way anymore.
Okay, keep right there.
But I've thought about it. I'm like, I'm going to spend the money on this thing, and this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So I would just do it. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, I guess we should probably come together and talk about one of those things, which is the right thing to do. But I just didn't want to feel restricted. Like, I had to run stuff by her.
You know? Which I never even, like, required. It was just like, don't come home with a new car, which he's like, kind of done before.
What?
It's a truck. You were like, I'm thinking about buying a new truck. And he just like came home with it. I was like, okay.
I needed it.
He didn't need it.
Well, even out the fact that I was riding a motorcycle because I was the only vehicle I had.
Yeah, well, okay, motorcycle, I'll get another purchase.
Well, I did buy that as well. But I mean, it is more together, I think.
Right.
We do everything, most everything.
But it's not like forced. I feel like we just have conversation and it's like, you're in every part of my life. Like, I never understand when couples are like, oh, I found out that my husband did this. I'm like, how'd you find out? Like, how are you not a part of the thought process? Like, we just process everything together. Or more so, I probably process everything with him.
But I do try and do things together. Like, any role, anything that needs to be done, I try and do it if I had never done it before. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. I think that's the way that, for me, I didn't do that before. So I was like, I need to step up and do those things.
But I've never felt like anything was expected of me. Like, I never felt like, oh, he expects me to cook, he expects me to clean, he expects me to also work and do all these things. And I think sometimes I would project that onto him, like as if, because I feel like that's what society expects of us, I would project that onto him, thinking that, like, that's what you expected to, or just get mad at you whenever I was, like, fed up with doing all those things.
Yeah.
And the love languages. I'd never heard of those.
That's what we're going to go into.
I'd never heard of that. Wasn't a thing. And then I thought, that makes a lot of sense, how maybe my mind's physical touch.
So I was going to ask you, what are the love languages, and like, how important is it to each of you to like make sure those are each fulfilled for each other?
Mm-hmm.
That was my realization. When I wasn't getting the physical touch, and I was like, oh, well, when's the last time that maybe I've done any household chores? Or I was like, oh, I'm not loving her in that way. Not that that is the only way to love you, but.
No, I think honestly, I'm probably all across the board, like all the love languages are mine. Except for maybe physical touch. Except when physical touch is on the bottom.
Oh, yeah. My number one. So lit.
So what are, like, Jared, what are your love languages?
The only one I even remember for me is physical touch.
I think quality time is also part of it, but.
Okay. And then Ariel, what are yours?
I think my highest, like when I take the test, is words of aff. Which he's the worst at.
That's what I was gonna ask you, like, Zared, where do you feel like you lack in like showing love to Ariel?
I mean, the words of aff are tricky for me because if I say something, then I've said it. And it's that way it is. Like, I told you this and that's it.
And I think again, like, that's
so it's a waste of time for me.
Yeah.
Because like, I've not seen a way to like if I've said it once, I meant it, I don't need to say it again. Like, that's
so you work really hard to, like, I have to work be really conscious hard. Of that when it's someone. Yeah.
So when we have to, or when I think about saying the same stuff over and over again, I'm just like, we've already done this. We talked about it. Can we move on?
No. Or, you know, like, and I have the same way, but like, mostly women are always the same way. Like, if we have to tell someone to do something and then they do it, it's like meaningless to us because it's almost like, well, we told you. Yeah. So like, it is like a complicated situation.
Yeah.
To you.
That was a lot for me to figure out. I'm still figuring it out.
But you had a, you, I know, like, you did an idea. Does it, she, do you still have it and do it daily or?
I don't do it daily, but he did.
That's really hard.
But see, that's about that.
Yeah. Okay, the thoughtfulness of it mattered more to me than what it actually was. Because I think he told you this. Like, he bought, like, a lantern, like, an empty lantern, and put a bunch of notes in it, like, probably over 100. Or, like, notes, like, a words of advice.
I bought special parchment paper, different designs. I write it, snip them with scissors.
But he did all and then, like, gave it to me for Christmas 2 Christmases ago. So he was like, isn't that enough words of app for you? But I'm like, but you wrote it on that day. So those words of app expired like the next day.
In my mind, I'm like, here's a, this is a jar has hundreds of notes in it. I'm good for
air. To me, it's like a cop out. Like, oh, I don't have to do it because I wrote you this. And I need it like every day in a different way. And so to me, like the thoughtfulness of being like, oh, I want to fulfill her every day. Like maybe this will work. But it is more. That means more to me than what he actually did, you know?
So, okay. So three of us sitting at the table are physical touch. And how I would give an example of that is if we do it, that won't just, you know, we still want to be touched throughout that day. You know what I mean? I'm not like, okay, like that fulfilled me. Yes, it fulfills us at the moment, but like, I still want to be like hugged on and rubbed on throughout the day. And I think that's what she's meaning by like, you know, like, oh, you look really pretty today, but then like talked to her throughout the day. Like, yeah, she cooked a dinner. And you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's, and if that's taken me a long time to like think about like, okay, well, if I do it, like that's fulfilling me, you know, but like also I still want to be touched throughout the day.
Yeah.
Like it's not a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah. And I also think I had a fear of saying things just to say them because I hate that. And I don't want to ever do that.
Right.
So then I feel like if I'm every day saying the same things, how genuine could it possibly be? Like, I don't want to say things that are disingenuous. So when I say it, I want you to know that I mean it.
Yeah.
But then if I'm saying it all the time.
You feel like she's not going to like.
I feel. Well, I don't know that it. She probably would. But in my mind, I'm just like, if I keep saying this, it's not going to be as true. Like, that's just a me thing.
Yeah.
I think I've got to get out of there.
I think that's a good example of like how we perceive things is so different than how someone else is going to handle it. Like, we may be like, okay, like, I'd be tired of hearing this already. But like, someone else would be like, I love hearing this and like lights them up every time.
And to me, I'm just, it's not. It is true, but it feels like it's not true if I'm just saying it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you look really good today. And then the next day, you look really good today. And then the next, I was like, what? Every day.
I've said this before, Tanana, like, you like it whenever someone specifically points something out. So, like, instead of saying, like, oh my God, you're so stunning, you're like, I know. But, like, it's like, what about me right now do you find stunning?
Yes.
So, like, when you make that comment, like, I was just staring at your lips, that fulfills me more than you'd be like, you look so pretty.
Yes.
So I'm like, but why? Like, I know that I'm pretty, but what do you find pretty about me right now in this moment?
That's a really good example.
So you did it without it.
Yeah.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better.
Go on.
I'm working on it.
Oh, that's good. So where do you feel like you lack in loving Sarah sometimes?
I think the major way, and you could probably give me a ton of other ways.
Oh, could I?
Yeah.
She's perfect,
but it is wrong. Yeah. But is by like letting go of like what I prioritize, which a lot of times is work and like the house and just like stressing over all the details and like just like loving you and giving you the physical touch that you need. Because I think I wear myself out all day with all those things. I don't have the mental capacity to then do things that don't come as natural to me because physical touch is not my love language.
So what are some ways, because we've talked about some ways of like he's had to work at it. Like, what are some ways you feel like you've had to work at that? Like,
I haven't done them recently, but like nudes are a huge thing. Like, I think it helps because it puts me in the mood and like it will make me think about it all day when I know that like for him, it's just like an extra little thing. So like, it's me mentally preparing myself like, oh, like let me spice up his day. But then it like you want to carry that on the rest of the day. You know,
I love that. Okay. So especially for a lot of our listeners are women and normally love languages for women. The first one is not physical touch.
Yeah.
So like we actually have an episode way back.
Yes.
But like how you get yourself in the mood to like
like get excited and like get ready for that.
Yeah.
And I got a little in depth about that.
I mean, I think a lot of it is like preparing yourself all day. Cause I mean, if you're married with kids, you're probably not like come home for lunch and doing it real quick. Like it's going to be like at night once you got the kids to bed or something like that. So
9 o'clock.
So I think just like, you know, mentally prepare yourself, thinking about it, like thinking about like, you know, how you want it to start. Like, what are some things you want to do to them? Or like, and talk to them about it even.
And this, the last episode you did, you said you would think about like a time, like he really made you feel special and like,
yeah.
And like, you would think about that, like all throughout the day.
Yeah. And that's a part of like choosing to love your person. So like when you're feeling neutral or feeling negative towards your person, like thinking of a time, I always think of like when I've really missed you or like things I really value about you and focus on those. And then that's like, that's all I think about. And of course, you want to love that version of that person as much as you possibly can. So, and then I'll be thinking to myself, like, well, how does he want love? Well, it's probably going to be like, you know, it's going to be sexual or related.
But I know.
Yeah.
But I think that's so, because what I think of the nudes, obviously I'm all about nudes, right? It makes my day when I'm at work. And I'm like, oh, my lordy. Like, it's great. And then I think,
such
oh,
dad.
Yeah, like,
my lordy.
Oh, but then I think, oh, that's what it's like when I have words of aff every day. Like that's, I never understood that before. Because mm-hmm. I would love to have nudes every day. Same way you would like words of aff every day. So that was the turn.
And it really is such an easy thing to do. Like I take showers after I work out in the morning. How easy is it to just like snap a picture of yourself as you get out of the shower? Like it's really not that hard. But it's like,
sometimes, it doesn't have to be a photo shoot. It's like, but
sometimes I will literally yell at Sarah and be like, I should send Sarah a nude. And like, I don't feel like it. It'll turn into something else later on tonight that I don't want to do. Like, I just get in my head and get negative about it.
But I think that what you were saying, like dwelling on like the things about it. And I think that's what we do with like one word relationships is if we had an argument, we start to dwell on the argument. So the same way we would dwell on the bad things.
Like obviously don't skip red flags.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, for one, don't send nudes to random people.
Don't send nudes to random people.
And then be like, make sure like there's like no red flag for like,
you're not skipping over the
things out of them.
Yeah.
Like, they're demanding sex from you. Like, of course, no. Like,
but anytime you're in a relationship with anybody, you're going to have times where you're like getting the worst version of that person. And so
you don't feel like doing things.
Yeah. You have to choose to love them anyway. And yeah.
You choose to love you then.
Really? Yeah.
Okay, you guys choose to love each other. This goes in that, like, our next question. Zared, what do you love most about Ariel?
See, that's tricky because I think one of the things I love most about her is how supportive and encouraging she is to everyone, but I mean, selfishly me. Like, I enjoy that and the security of knowing that she's there. But those are, when I think about like the things that immediately come for me, it's things that you do like for the family or for me. So then I have to really focus on you and like the things I love about you. And I think it's just, I mean, there, when I put in that mindset, I think there are just several different things I love about you that don't have as much to do with the way you take care of the family. But that's always the main focus.
Yeah.
Is like how she does these things.
I love that you mentioned that. Because, like, I probably would have stopped it, like, just like that because it shows how selfless a person is. But that's not what makes her. And, like,
right. What
do you love about her? And, like, sometimes, especially as mothers, we get lost in motherhood and lost in our roles. So I'd love that you, like, actually thought about to, like, point out things you love about her.
Yeah, because I think, naturally, I just think, oh, like, how does she support me? And you are such a supporter. But then I have to really think about the reasons I love you, what drew me to you. And it's just us, you and me, together. Making you laugh, and just the conversation, the things that the who you are before everything else, you know, like that's still.
She'll be after all the kids leave. It's just going
to
be you two.
Yeah, and like that's still what draws me to her.
More full of more life.
You make me laugh the most.
Yeah.
Which is, that is the thing, because I typically make others laugh. And when she just is always, she's the funnier one, really. I mean, if you spend any time with us at all, you will realize very quickly she is the witty and the funny one.
See, I don't think that.
I do, though. And I'm just I'm the extroverted one. I'm the one that talks, but you're really the funny one.
She's very witty.
She is. And she makes me laugh, and not a lot of people make me laugh. So I do laugh.
Well, that I can make you laugh.
So Ariel, what do you love most about Zary?
I mean, I could go on forever about that. Let me just pull out that email that I sent him.
Drop that as well.
I mean, I think the main thing I love about you now is just like how I can like turn off part of my brain like when I'm with you and like when we are together. Just like you, everything you have control of, like I don't have to worry about stuff. Like we go on dates, like I don't think, like I'm like, what direction are we going? And sometimes I'll like tell you where to park and stuff, but like I think I can just submit to you and like feel safe with you.
Wait,
feel
at home with you. Submit?
What? Yeah.
It's rare.
Let's highlight that right there.
But I mean, I've always loved from the beginning, I've always told you this, like your ambition for life in general and just like being more of yourself all the time. And like, you don't change for people. Like I've always wanted to be able to do that. And you and Deanna are very good at that and inspire me to do that more.
Plus we're soulmates. So there's that. Yeah. Awesome.
This is going to be titled soulmates. Okay. My last question is for all the high school sweethearts that are out there, they're like, man, this just gets tough. Sometimes you're just like, you know, like, you're like, we've been doing this forever and we're taking care of kids and all of these things are going through. What's a good piece of advice you would give?
I mean, that's hard because I've never really thought like, oh, because we're high school sweethearts, this is tough. Like, I think having like really good communication is like really key. Yeah. Over-communicating, like.
I think if I was talking to a younger me, a high school me, or any young lovers, I think I would just tell them not to plan anything. Don't focus on, because I mean, we've all heard them say like their life plans and all the stuff they're going to do. And like we felt that too, I think, when we were younger.
Yeah, you were going to go to Barbados and...
I was going to go to Barbados. I just, I mean, look at all of us. None of us had these plans for ourselves. And look where we are now. We're happy. We're engaged in our relationships. So I just think that it's the most rewarding thing. So, I mean, those all the plans I had was a waste of time. All the stress or thought I put into those plans, waste of time. So just I would say not to do that. And just be ready for the moment. Be ready for whatever's coming at you. Not that you will be that thing. You'll instantly step into it, but that you'll be ready to do it and accept the challenge and move forward. Just being present.
I think, yeah, and that's good. Like being present because you have to love the present person that you're with and not the person that you fell in love with in high school. And I think a lot of people who get married in high school or date in high school and then get married, they... Well, that's like the typical like, oh, you've changed, you're not this person anymore. And it's like, yeah, like they shouldn't be. So like, have you tried to love that person in between when you're in high school and now? And you know, maybe you haven't, because like I feel like we've done most of our life together, but like also had our own separate lives and all these things going on, but we just like support each other through it and like we're present with each other. And I think some people, if they've been together so long, they get comfortable just living life, you know, next to each other, not together.
Because we're not a roommate.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this is just normal. This is like, you know, it was my wife. Like, whatever. Like, my wife.
No fall in shade.
Yeah.
Dragging her out again.
Yeah, I think just staying curious about each other and, like, always looking for ways to get to know the other person better. And that's one thing, like, I'm probably, like, at a fault with, because I always want to, like, know you more. I'm like, there's four layers. I know it. Give them to me. And there's like, you know it all, like, I don't have anything else to give.
Well, we just, you like talking about things more than I do.
Yeah.
I think that, like, after listening to both of our episodes, I think you should take in account, like, yes, love languages, but also personality types. A personality, like, that's how a person runs everything, all the musicians. And sometimes if they don't have the same personality, we're like, why are they acting that way? Or why did they respond the same way?
Yeah, and attachment styles, which, like, I learned about a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I am such an anxious attachment style, yeah. And he's avoidant, which is, like, the thing, like, that don't come, you know, that's not going to work at all. And so I just really had to, like, focus on myself and, like, no, like, I need to validate myself sometimes. And I don't think that means that he shouldn't validate me, but, like, I didn't, like, on the day-to-day, don't need to be able to function based on someone else's validation.
And I think one of the things I've learned from you is people process things different. No, obviously they process.
People process things, period. That's what you learned.
No, I just learned that, like, the time to process something. Like, for A, that was never, it was, I heard it, got it, done.
Yeah.
I never thought that I actually had a time to process things because I never felt that in my own life. But then now I realize I do need time to process things, which you had always known about yourself and the way you process information.
Yeah, I mean, it took me, when we first got together, like, I grew up in a very, like, Republican home. You grew up in a very liberal home. And so we would talk about things. And, like, again, to the core, we both agreed on the same ideas. But then we, like, separately would, like, stand for different things. And then we stopped having conversations about it, really. And then, like, the last probably 5 years, I've been like, you know, what I really feel strongly about this is there's just like, oh, my God, like, I tried to tell you this in high school. And it's not even about politics. It's about, like, ideas and things that, like, you know, you grow up and you're programmed, not programmed, but, like, you're growing up around one thing and so you believe a certain thing and then someone introduces something else to you and it takes a while to process those things. And I'm not saying I believe with everything that Zarin has ever said or, you know, talks about, but...
It just,
there's like, you don't.
What did I believe? There is a difference in the time it takes for us to process and just how we do it. And I just didn't realize that was different for people.
Yeah.
I thought we could all hear and no words. And it was just instant. Like, that's what I thought.
Decision. It's
okay. Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah. But it really, there is a difference. And you've taught me that.
Like, how do you do it? You do it first.
Hey, this is Arielle.
This is Tiana.
I'm Jenna. Welcome to Call Us Mommy, where we talk about all things life, motherhood,
relationship.
Period. Do you want us to leave the room?
You guys don't want us to look at you guys. It's making me nervous.
Yeah, I'll leave the room so we can...
That was funny. Good job, guys.